like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man!
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
With us Tuesdays, and Dave, let's just start with it. What's the virus COVID news?
We'll get the numbers today. You know, the SEC, all the schools announced their most updated numbers that they released to everybody on Tuesdays, and that usually comes, you know, with testing after Sunday, Monday, and usually after a game, but of course not for Florida. This week because of the COVID running rampant through the football team last week. So last number we got from Scott Strickland was 21 players, 18 scholarship players, 3 walk-ons that had contracted the virus. And that's the last thing we've heard, and that was last Thursday. So, of course, you know, more testing was going to happen. So we'll see if that number rises or falls when that number gets released today. And then, of course, on Saturday, Dan Mullen comes out and said it was confirmed that he also had coronavirus. So my assumption there, Bill, was him coming out Saturday and saying that it was confirmed, probably tested positive somewhere earlier in the week, and then it was probably confirmed with another test on Saturday there. So Florida didn't get to play LSU this past week. Doesn't get to play Missouri this week, Bill, and it looks like they probably won't even be allowed football. And from everything I can gather, it looks like they won't even be on the practice field. We'll even be back together as a team until Sunday, and that's even at the earliest. So, Bill, the question is, you know, how much time do you need to get ready for your next game? How much time do you need to get ready for Missouri? And when you are available to come back to the facility, you know, we don't know who tested positive. We don't know when they tested positive. So, you know, I doubt it's even the full team when they get back together this coming up weekend.
And the Missouri game, they're going to play that, what, 2 weeks out, Halloween, that weekend?
Yeah, Halloween. That was supposed to be Florida's normal bye week.
Right.
Before the Georgia game. You know, Florida and Georgia usually get a bye week before they play each other. Schedule's been remade to where Georgia will play Kentucky, Florida will play Missouri. And, I mean, you just kind of have to worry, if you're a Gator fan, worry where the team is at. I mean, it'd do some good to sit and look at film and diagnose some issues on defense, but part of the issues on defense was not being able to tackle. And now you're going to be away and not be able to practice for about 2 weeks. I mean, Bill, you do wonder what the mindset and, you know, maybe the physicality and how in shape these guys are going to be in. I'm literally taking about 2 weeks off. I mean, and it's not a traditional bye week. You know, if you get your normal bye week, you still have about 2 practices a week. Florida can't do anything right now. So it begs the question of which way it will go and if it'll help or hurt Florida having this time off.
Titans had about 2 weeks off, and they killed Buffalo.
Yeah.
No practice at all.
Exactly. So if you want to look at an example, it was like, okay, there we go. Maybe it translates into that. But you know, you had an offense that's on fire and scoring points, and a defense that needs all the help they can get. So we just have to kind of just wait and see. I don't think there's any way to project what's going to be the case there.
Yeah, what if it turns out the biggest football lesson during a pandemic is that practice is overrated?
Yeah.
I don't think coaches would like that, would they?
No, and it kind of also be you know, what maybe some false confidence because you are playing Missouri, and it doesn't seem Florida is better than. But, you know, if you only have, say, three, four practices, or say you do get three practices and you go out there and play pretty good against Missouri, you know, is there some kind of false confidence as you're trying to gather everything and get ready for Georgia as well?
Gator Dave with us, talking about the Gators. As he just explained, there's really not a lot to talk about if you're not practicing and you're not playing games. Not a lot to speculate on. So here's what I will do. Games you have seen to date, Alabama, Georgia, some of the other games. Is the league, is the SEC shaping up any differently than perhaps what you anticipated before we started playing games?
Honestly, Bill, no. Maybe, you know, I guess what I'll look at overall is you know, Florida's defense being much worse, and I think that necessarily kind of affecting where you look at Florida and Georgia right now. But, you know, everybody thought it was going to be a Florida-Georgia battle, and that's still the case right now. You go back to the game, the big game this weekend with Alabama and Georgia, played out almost exactly like I thought. I had a 30-24 Alabama win, so I got the Georgia score, right? But I didn't necessarily expect Alabama's offense to still hum along like they were. And let me tell you, Mac Jones and those receivers, and that's just, you know, that's it's kind of unfair, especially when you go back and look up and see what they had at receiver last year. And so the skill position talent that Alabama has is second to none right now when you look at that. So big picture-wise, not necessarily. I still think it's an Alabama-Florida-Georgia battle. You know, and we'll see where Florida is coming up in the next week or so. Maybe Texas A&M can kind of, you know, they keep improving it as the season goes on. And if their only loss is Alabama, you know, we'll see if that plays out that way. But that's, I think, a storyline to maybe keep in the back of your mind and seeing what Texas A&M does the rest of the season as well. As I think, you know, right now they, to me, are clearly the second best team in the West. And I don't see anybody else in the West. Just, you know, of course, football happens and you can get beat. But if I have to pick the second best team, they've already played Alabama. You know, that could be their only loss when we get to toward the end of the season. And Bill, just watching that Kentucky-Tennessee game over the weekend as well, I think, you know, one of the bigger questions in the SEC was, will Tennessee have a quarterback that could take that next step? And all eyes were on Garantano, and one of the worst games he's ever played. Hasn't looked like he's taken the necessary steps, and that program taking the next steps with him. So in Jeremy Pruitt's, yeah, third season here, you still have the quarterback question, and for whatever reason, hesitation to move on from him.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and no indication they're going to do anything about it other than fire the defensive line coach.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. I mean, I know it was what was it, quote, difference of opinion or different viewpoints or something?
I mean,
you've got to have some different viewpoints with your quarterback, too. So,
Gator Dave with us. When looking back at that LSU run a year ago and that offense, perhaps a generational offense, which means you don't see many like that, but could this Alabama team be that level of production offensively once we get through more games?
Bill, I say yeah, and I'll tell you why. LSU, when they were starting out last season and putting up numbers, you know, they had the luxury of playing a Georgia Southern and Vanderbilt, I think, and maybe one more lower-tier FBS school. And Alabama's doing this against four SEC schools so far, and one of them's the best defense in the country, and they're putting these numbers up. And I know LSU had a lot of success versus Georgia in the SEC championship game last year. But, Bill, to me, it's just an indication. I mean, this is an offensive game now, and that trend is full bore. I mean, we saw what LSU was able to do against that great Georgia defense last year, and now Alabama doing it again. And it just, to me, kind of just confirms the fact. It's kind of like the NFL right now. It's a quarterback-driven game right now. And with the playmaker that they have, at Alabama, and the way they've recruited, you know, top end or overall talent is much more than what LSU had last year. And LSU was able to find some kind of surprise pieces along the way. We didn't know how good Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be and this group of receivers. And they kind of burst onto the scene where we kind of already knew that about Alabama. And it was all about if Mac Jones could progress from the point that he was at last year. And we've seen that progression. And him being able to use all that talent that's around him to his advantage. So, I mean, right now the numbers say it, and so far the competition's been just a little bit tougher when you compare it to early season LSU last year.
Gator Dave with us. Gator's Breakdown is his podcast. We'll let you know how you can get it. Big Ten getting started this weekend. Do you look much outside of the SEC when you're watching games?
I do. If there's a big-time ranked matchup, especially now, this weekend Florida's not playing, so I can definitely I can move my eyes over to another game. But, yeah, I would absolutely, take notice of that. Starts Friday night, I think, right?
Friday night, Illinois, Wisconsin, and then the rest of the slate on Saturday, including primetime TV, Minnesota hosting Michigan. A Minnesota fan pointed this out to me. All these years I do my OOP on Sundays for the next week. He says I've never had Minnesota in the one slot, and I do this week, Minnesota, Michigan. Oh, yeah. So that's new.
Yeah, for week one, Big Ten, that's a where-are-you-trending type of game for, Minnesota, P.J. Fleck, trying to get everything going there. A lot of, rumors of opt-outs from the Big Ten wasn't going to play, and then, some of the players come back, and then Harbaugh in Michigan and Milton being the quarterback there. And some Gator fans, we'll remember Milton. He was a quarterback that Florida was in the conversation for from the state of Florida there playing at Michigan. So, I think that's from week one, where's your program heading kind of top matchup? And does the anti-Harbaugh talk start really early in week one after losing, if you lose to Minnesota? And if Minnesota gets a win there, I think P.J. Fleck's reputation just gets a little higher and maybe pushing for a Big Ten title.
Let you run, but we were looking just a few minutes ago, a week out, to next Saturday, which would be, the 31st, end of the month. Penn State, Ohio State's already here, game two. For that league, how about that?
Yeah, I mean the Big Ten, Bill, and I'm looking at it a little bit different now, seeing what Florida's going through right now, and
right.
That's a big game, and it's early, and I think it's beneficial. Michigan, Minnesota, and Penn State, Ohio State might be beneficial now to get those big games if you're those big programs out of the way early. Because, say you're Ohio State and you get hit like Florida just got hit, and their protocol is 21 days if a player tests positive and it's contagious and showing symptoms. And I don't know how a program would survive, a lot of players being out for 21 weeks. So I think looking at the Big Ten or 21 days. So you look at the Big Ten and these big matchups that are early, and I think it's really beneficial for them that some of these big matchups are early. And your teams like Ohio State, which is Penn State's probably their toughest game of the year, has that game right away and led by Justin Fields. And I think he has a lot to prove. Going out there and seeing what Trevor Lawrence is doing, going out there and seeing what Mac Jones is doing for Alabama, the team that you're competing with, and you got to watch that for the last 3-4 weeks. I think it kind of just sets up Ohio State to say, okay, we can look at these teams. We know how good they are. We know we got to be on our game every week, and it'll definitely start in earnest with Penn State next week.
Tell everybody how they can get your podcast.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com or their favorite podcast platform, YouTube version as well. Last night we hammered home the COVID discussion a bit more. And even though, Bill, the Florida offense is really, really, really good, we did a little bit of nitpicking in last night's episode to kind of, maybe nitpick a bit where the Florida offense can get even better.
Good stuff, Dave. See you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Always good to have him here. Yeah, Gators can't do anything right now. Not playing games, not practicing. Head coach has got it. So we'll see how all this develops. But always good to have him. Griff will be with us a little bit later, hour number three. That's Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. About 20 minutes into hour number three. We'll take the break. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We are looking in live at this crash here downtown. It's I-40 westbound here near the Mumbrium at Broadway. It's a vehicle up against the wall. It may have flipped a couple of times here. It looks like a black pickup truck that has crashed here downtown, causing a backup at the South Loop. Again, we're looking live at this crash here on 40 westbound at Broadway into Mumbrium. As you come off that South Loop, it's got traffic really tied up. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, visit obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea market.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
NFL Network. We're all here for football.
That is how we start the show, baby.
We're here for the Thursday night throwdowns.
He is the guy that makes everything go.
Sunday morning breakdowns.
Nobody saw it coming.
He's got it!
And all the inside lowdown.
He is ready to go.
Your team.
I think he is a great target.
Our team.
The best wide receiver in the NFL.
Every team.
This is epic.
Down the end zone, touchdown!
NFL Network. We're here for football.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it. Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show.
Been busy this morning. On Twitter, at Bill is King. And if you do want to email the show, Bill is King 7. The number 7 at gmail.com. Here's a couple of emails I meant to get to yesterday. This is from Jim in Spotsylvania. No, that's Spotsylvania, Virginia. I believe I've got that city right. Bill, I think Bennett's limitations, he's talking about Stetson Bennett the fourth. Bill, I think Bennett's limitations were on full display Saturday night. Several batted passes along with the picks. I thought Georgia would have run the ball more, and if there is a rematch, I think we will see them try to pound the ball on that Bama D. Bama O-line was the difference in the end. I thought they were down Georgia in the fourth, and gave Mac time to complete passes to those great wide receivers. Signed, again, Jim in Spotsylvania. Yes. Went through slowly there. I'm not sure where that city is. In Virginia. We know that part. Now we know that part. Brian, who is in the military, also a big Georgia fan, says, Bill, my dogs didn't get it done. It's all as simple as that. I've got a lot of emotions, much like most of Dog Nation, but ultimately it was just a bad showing. We can talk about the refs, as anybody who watched the first 8 minutes of the second half knows which way the calls went, which way they didn't as well. We can talk about Kirby and how, regardless of how well you recruit, if you're not putting the best players on the field, you're still going to be number two in the SEC. We could talk about Stetson Bennett and how much I love his story, but never really thought he was the guy. We can talk about the secondary, Bill. Actually, no, we couldn't because they played okay. It's just really hard to defend future first-rounders at receiver. Ultimately, I think all of those will be discussed this week and all week long. Bill, I hope you have a great week. Look forward to the show every day, regardless of how well the dogs do. Signed, Brian. Yeah, Brian emails us and in the military. He said 21 years in the military he's got. So, Brian, again, appreciate that. I mentioned major moves. Major Moves has been communicating with the show for many years now, dating back to the Sirius XM days. Big West Virginia fan. Always makes that clear. He says, Bill, and this is an email, and it's a long one. I can't read it all. We'll be here. This email is longer than War and Peace. You ever read the book War and Peace? This email is longer than that. Bill, been doing some serious soul searching, and I've decided to part ways with West Virginia and my loyalties. I think it's been coming for a long time. It dates back as far as how Rich Rod was lied to try and get him to stay, the way things happened with Billy Stewart, etc., etc. He says, I've been a college football fan for a long time, and I know a lot about the program, but he's going to be looking around. He says he's looking for another team. He says Tennessee. Now, this was written, I think, before the Tennessee-Kentucky game. Yes, it was. Tennessee's kind of like a second home, he says. A lot of people there that I've been invited to see games, et cetera. He says, USC family ties. University of Florida, just always kind of liked them. And he said he also likes UK because of location. So, yes, he's and again, this email is way longer than that. I'm telling you. I appreciate him taking the time. No, very nice of him. It took him some time to write this. So he's looking for a team. If you have any suggestions, I don't know. After the Tennessee-Kentucky game, I don't know if Tennessee could frustrate you. Tennessee doesn't want to play a quarterback who can perform well consistently, and they're stubborn about it. Jeremy Pruitt, who's only, what, 38, is coaching like he's 78 when it comes to the quarterback. And he just doesn't want to do a darn thing about it. Just trot him back out there, man. You put him back out there and let him chuck some more pick sixes. Yeah, I don't understand that. And look, all of you folks who have had teams or a season or seasons where you've had poor quarterback play, and how many of the big names out there have gone through this? LSU went through it for quite a long time until Joe Burrow. Choppy, choppy, real choppy at quarterback, right? Zach Mettenberger's the answer, Bill. I promise you, he can throw it. They're going to open it up, Bill. And he didn't have a bad year, but literally you could take it from Well, I was going to say Rohan Davey. All the way to Burrow. They did win the Natty in 07. So. But think about Florida from Tim Tebow on. How many years of quarterback play that was inconsistent and just made no sense? There's another one. Texas after Colt McCoy. All the way to perhaps Sam Ellinger. Sam's had a good career, the overall team not necessarily, but he's had a good individual quarterback career. It's had its moments up and down, but he's been pretty good. Think about that. Those are huge brand names going long periods of time with quarterback play that's erratic at best. Juxtapose that with an Oklahoma. And I know this year Spencer Rattler's been hot and cold, but Oklahoma forever consistent at quarterback. Buckeyes pretty consistent through the years at quarterback, right? I mean, we could go, you want to go back to Sleaster? We can go back to our Sleaster, but let's go back to Troy Smith if you just want to go back a couple decades or less to now. Yeah, consistency at quarterback. I wonder if there's a way mathematically to take a period of time, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, whatever, and measure quarterback consistency with the overall health of the program. Probably be, well, I was going to say shocking data, but no, it wouldn't be shocking. It'd be obvious if there's a way to measure that up. Consistency. Overall. Yeah, you only know about what it's like when it's your team that has poor quarterback play. You have to live it. You don't understand it until you live it. Perry Mason, Bill, we struggled bad at quarterback, but look how well Franks is doing now in Vietnam. He has settled down and is having a solid year there. I didn't necessarily have a lot of hope for him there. But he is. He is playing, you know, nothing spectacular. No, I'm not suggesting. But he's under control. I mean, what they're doing with him is keeping it relatively simple. And it's working out right now. For the guys in Vietnam. Good point by Perry. Bottom of the hour here. I know we got to get a break. Griff in about 40 minutes. About 20 minutes into hour number three. Griff will be with us down in Athens, GA. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. They moved all the damaged vehicles to the side, but it's still a little bit slow here with a lot of rubbernecking on 40 westbound here at Broadway and DeMumbry. I'm trying to get into the downtown area, especially there at the South Loop. Got really tricky earlier. Now they're working a wreck at Wallace Road. It's going to be South Nashville, about the 300 block of Wallace Road. It usually runs off that section there off Nolansville Pike. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, visit Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning: mostly sunny, high 80. Mostly clear tonight, low 60. Sunny tomorrow, high 84. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 59. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network or Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
He spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
Yeah, a lot of good football to talk about, man. A lot of good college ball. High school ball, too, man. Yeah, we got canceled last Friday. I was all excited about Friday night, and just after lunch, heard my daughter say, they canceled the game. So what? They canceled the game. Yeah, not postponed it, canceled it. The other team had some COVID issues, high school team. Coming a county or two over. So, no ball. I'm thinking of how many games? I think the high school where my kid plays has missed, it's either two or three games. And it's been each time it's been the other team. I'm not saying it couldn't be our team. I'm not suggesting that. But so far, it's been the other team. But they're marching forward. And it coincides. See, they've got an off Friday here, too. So this Friday was already an off Friday. So, man, they played like one game in the last three, 4 weeks. I don't even remember. It's all running together. Doug DiBiase, big Penn State fan up in Connecticut. Bill, Penn State went from Kerry Collins in 1994 to Trace McSorley in 2016 before they had multiple seasons of strong play from one quarterback. I'll tell you a little story. Kerry Collins' wife came over to one of the farms we sold. And wanted to check and see about purchasing it. And she opted out. She opted against buying this farm because, and again, it's back on the river. You can't really, well, you can see one other house. These are like 30-acre plots or something. And I think one of the best pieces of real estate, period, you could find around here. And she said there wasn't enough privacy. Yeah, Mama Collins, that happened. Yes, that absolutely happened. Now, I didn't meet her. No, I didn't. The agent did. I didn't meet her, but Mama came out to look around. I don't even know. I don't know if they ended up settling here. Remember, he's with the Titans some. And they might have, or maybe moved back up to PA somewhere. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But that did happen. Yeah. Small world there. When Doug DiBiase reminds me of something completely different from college football. And that little note. Yeah, it's it is kind of fun to go back and see who's had droughts at quarterback. And, man, when you get a good quarterback and this quarterback makes plays for you, doesn't make mistakes, it's taken for granted, is it not? Now, I'm not saying you can't appreciate what you're watching in real time. You can. But it's easy to take for granted. Now, think about the run Clemson has been on with, and I'm just going to go recent here, but a Taj Boyd. Absolutely. And fast forward, I mean, if you want. Yeah, all the way to Pretty Boy right now. I mean, obviously skipping some really good quarterbacks in there. Matter of fact, one of them I saw on TV playing in Nashville for the Texans. Outstanding quarterback, obviously. But some have the knack of the turnstile when it comes to quarterbacks, and then others don't. Shannon in South Bend says, Bill, yesterday you were thinking of the Notre Dame holder and punter, Jay Bramblett, on the fake field goal just before the half, and it got stuffed. He says, I like the call. The offense was struggling and needed a jump start. That game could have been 21-0 at the half. Just glad we're playing. Yeah, I didn't. I thought that the points there, 9-0. Now, again, did it end up mattering? No, because the final was 12-7. So, that I don't think either way there Notre Dame was going to get some energy offensively. It was not a good day there. It was not a bad day running the ball. Passing game was choppy. Now, South Bend, and Shannon lives there, so he knows more about it than me, but South Bend, it was a dreary, windy, kind of moist day. Not maybe conducive for the best passing conditions. I'll give you that. The worrisome part of it is Louisville has not been much on defense this year. If they have a strength at times, it's the offense. They've got athletes on offense. They really do. Malik Cunningham, Tutu Atwell, there's more than that. But, I mean, they have some guys that can scare you. They are electric out in the open grass. For sure. Now, I'll say this. Clark Lee continues. And maybe look, the Florida State game, people were a little worried because Florida State put up points and yards on Notre Dame. But maybe that's more about where Florida State is. Look what Florida State just did to North Carolina. Maybe that's more about Florida State and their progression than Notre Dame's poor night defensively that night a couple of Saturdays ago when Florida State was there. Jordan Travis played very well in that ball game. But I don't know. When it's all said and done, maybe Notre Dame is the second best team in that league. I don't know. I still don't have enough data. John says, Bill, quarterback is the most important position in sports. Would you not agree? I absolutely agree. There's not one position in sports where you touch it every play. Your side of the ball has it. And everything flows through you. Now, different levels of dominance at that position or lack thereof, but there's nothing like that, right? Talking about team sports now. Pitching is vital in baseball, but the same pitcher's not pitching, right? We're talking about one person, the same person. Now, if it was like softball and you could pitch all the time, that's different, but it's not. Yeah, I think you're right about that. QB is, and not that this is this is no original thought at all. Not making it sound that way. But vital. Absolutely vital. And when you don't have one, it's tough. See, Tennessee fans, let's get back to that one. They want to see Harrison Bailey. Harrison Bailey, big name recruit out of Marietta. A lot of players out of Georgia. A lot of players out of Marietta. A lot of players out of everywhere in Georgia. And he's a big 6'4", 6'5", quarterback's got a good arm and all that. They want to see it. And frankly, I don't blame them. Because if you're to the point where Your senior quarterback is continually inconsistent. Why not build with the young quarterback? Because you got to remember, when you're starting off with a new quarterback, most of the time, Justin Fields was a true sophomore, but when you're starting off, the football gods make you pay for that. It's hard. In most cases. Now, Jalen Hurts can come in and play a lot as a freshman. I mean, we've got examples, right? But for the most part, there's a payment plan that the football gods insist that you undertake. And the payment plan is mistakes. You pay with your mistakes. You learn from those mistakes also. Works both ways. And again, some of it has to do with who you surround the young quarterback with. If it's a veteran offensive line, new guy at quarterback, that's even better because he has more protection. He's safer that way. If you've got a stout running game to protect him with, that's good too. That's good too. But there's nothing like this does not give you real game reps. Gives you reps. But it's not the same as the live, this really, really counts here now, y'all, action. There's nothing like it. So, yeah, they want to see the young guy out of Georgia. And so far, Jeremy Pruitt says, here's what I'll do about this, y'all. You ready? I'll fire the defensive line coach. Oh, Pruitt said that he's going to coach that position rest of the way. He's taking over. Now, I don't know, is he really that mad at the defensive front? The defense isn't isn't the problem at Tennessee. The defense plays hard. They make plays. They're not where they need to be personnel-wise, like a Georgia is. Alabama's got personnel, et cetera. No, they've got a ways to go to get there, yes. But defense isn't their issue if we're ranking issues. It's the quarterback play. That's the issue. We need one more break. I know that. That's the issue at hand. We need one more break. Griff will be with us. Can't wait for Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. That's about 20 minutes into hour number 3. Coming right back, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's been pretty busy out here this morning. All the damaged vehicles are to the side here on I-40 westbound at Broadway once you come off the South Loop. 24 eastbound there in Cheatham County near New Hope Road. They're on the scene of that accident. It did have some minor injuries. Trust me, there's so much traffic volume in that area now coming in from Clarksville, Montgomery County on 24 east through that section of Cheatham County. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg this year during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, music, food, live entertainment. Check it out, Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide 2 enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, Laser Maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, we've teamed up with AAA to save you 20% online or in store. That's why they call us the Savings Dream Team. Okay, we're the only ones calling us that. But it's true. Your AAA membership can save you 20% at Napa. So we're basically superheroes with the most specific power ever, saving you 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
20% off regular retail prices with valid AAA membership card. Offer ends 10/31/20.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed, this truck, and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C. A always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Yeah, I was looking. Let's see if I can find this without dead radio air. You know, when you're in radio, you're supposed to occupy the airwaves while you're doing it, right? Yeah, that's a smart thing to do. When you're here, I would know. 30-something years doing this, I would know this. Let me see if I can scroll down here and find. I'm looking. For my, there it is, my OOP. I was getting nervous there, thinking, this could take longer than you anticipated, Bill. I've got the week 8 OOP. Now, again, this is week 8 for those who started originally in college football. For everybody else, it's a different week, but it's overall week 8, right? I've got in the one slot that Saturday night game on network television. That would be the Maize and Blue against the Gophers. I've got that number one. Number two, and I do this every week, 1 through 5. It's only 1 through 5. Some weeks there's more than 5. Some weeks there's not quite 5, even though I fill it up with 5. This week I had enough. And the two slot, I have Penn State and IU. Penn State's got to go to Bloomington. That is not an easy opener. Number three, and this is heavy Big Ten because we have not seen the Big Ten yet. I've got Frosty on the road against the Bucks in Seabus, Ohio. Number four, I have former Buckeye, Luke Fickle for Cincinnati versus the Ponies of SMU. I've got that number four. Number five, I have Iowa State versus the Mullet. That's what we're looking at, y'all. Iowa State versus the Mullet. Now, usually there's going to be quite a few SEC teams in there. Like last week, easy number one game was Georgia and Alabama. That was easy. And there's usually going to be quite an SEC flavor. This is maybe, again, I can't remember all the OOPs I've done through the years. Thousands of them. Trillions of them, right? I don't know if I've ever had a 1 through 5 where the SEC didn't have a matchup in there somewhere. I don't recall one like that. Just saying. Just business down in Birmingham, down in Hoover, Alabama. Bill, I hear the debate tonight will have a mic that they can mute. Jeff in the Borough was good yesterday, but wouldn't it be nice to have that feature sometime? Just mute him for 30 seconds, check back in and see if he has improved. You know what? Yesterday was, I think, easily his best call ever. It's been a month or 6 weeks since he's even called. Now, it rubbed some wrong. Aliquippa Bob didn't like it. Perry Mason didn't like it. But I thought overall, he started with a song. He didn't mess the song up either. Matter of fact, Charlie put Kentucky music under it. Sounded wonderful. And he stayed on point. He got his bashing in. Took a few shots out the door and left. That's what you would expect out of him, right? So, again, not necessarily worried about the topic, but that's what we expected from him. I didn't expect him to call at all. So I was pleasantly surprised. When Crazy Charlie told me, said, on hold, you've got Jeff in the Borough, I was not expecting that. I hadn't even thought about Jeff in the Borough. I'd given up. I'd said, no mas, he's not calling. But I was ill-informed there, meaning I was wrong. He absolutely was going to call. But I know what you're just business. I know what you're saying. No, I understand. A little later, we'll have Griff with us. Griff, we'll talk Georgia and the Alabama game. Kind of a somber feeling at Georgia. Now, look, Georgia's not eliminated. You win all your games here, and you're in. Okay? You win a rematch with Alabama, and I think you're in. Now, again, we've got a ways to go there, but from this view, I do. Just don't screw anything else up. But if you're a Georgia fan, you're a little down right now because Saturday night, second half, it was one-sided. And that's hard to take if you're Georgia because you know you have talent that is as good as anybody's anywhere else. You know that. You've recruited for these moments. You have to recruit like you recruit for these particular moments. West Coast Sooner, Bill, and Crazy Charlie, who do you think the front runner for the Heisman is? That's easy. That's a pretty boy. Yeah, pretty boy is far and away the front runner. Now, I'm not saying it can't change. Justin Fields starts playing. Mac Jones is – everybody's acknowledging Mac Jones, okay, his numbers. And, again, the Alabama brand matters. Kyle Trask has had a really good year. I mean, we can go down a list, but I'm telling you right now, it's pretty boys to lose at the moment. We will see if that gets adjusted any. Gary Joe Collins from Tim Couch Country. Bill, Jeff in the Borough taking shots at others wasn't cool. Kentucky has beaten Tennessee 4 times in 41 years. A little more consistent winning before we start woofing at others. Hashtag Winder Repair. When Kentucky beat Tennessee in Neyland Stadium in 1984, I remember where I was sitting. I was not at the game. I was watching it on TV. I was at the Herschel Walker 1980 debut. I was there to see it. A lot of people lie about that. I was there. But in 1984, for the Tennessee-Kentucky game, I remember where I was sitting in the den on the farm watching Kentucky beat Tennessee at Neyland Stadium. That was the last time Kentucky had won at Neyland, 1984. Now, somebody correct me. Wasn't Bill Ransdale the quarterback that year, or was he already gone? Somebody, I am willing to be corrected talking about Kentucky's quarterback. Thought it was Bill Ransdale. Do I have my years mixed up there? I remember watching the game and everything, but I could be, I need to be corrected if that is incorrect. Just business. Bill, have you noticed the pattern? Georgia, Braves, Falcons, late collapses, just saying. Yeah, we talked about that. That came up yesterday. Georgia fans or Peach State residents have been acknowledging on Twitter the heartbreak of being a Falcons, Braves, and dog fan. There's heartbreak associated with that. You have a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. basically done at, what, 27-3 against New England. Blow it. Braves up 3-1. Dodgers, blow it. Dogs up on Alabama in a natty. Blow it. Blow it in an SEC championship game. Blown out Saturday night. Well, in the second half. Yeah, second half. Tight game. Tight game. And then blowed out city, as we'd say in the South. Yeah, acknowledged. Acknowledged yesterday on the show. We'll be back. Hour 3, Griff will be with us about 20 minutes in.